Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Grab your Bibles with me, and we're going to get right into the Word this morning. I feel like God has given me a very specific word for this next season, and so I encourage you to take notes. We're going to really focus in one passage of Scripture this morning, and we're going to go over to Exodus chapter 14. And that's where we'll find ourselves really looking around and beginning to see what God is going to say to us in this season. But before I go there, what I wanted to do is just say this. Here's what I'd like you to do for me for a second. And please do not take this. If you use your phone, then terrific, raise your phone. But just show me your word right now. Show me the word. Show me the word. And so it's a matter that might be on your phone, that might be in your hand, that might be wherever it is. So I would ask you the question. We're going to get into a little bit about this in the middle of my sermon, but I would ask you the question. If you're like me, and I'm sure most of you are, you know, I think this is the most powerful tool in the entire universe. Come on now. I believe that this is not just, and I want to be careful that I'm not going to just slip back into my, you know, give away the parts in the midst of my sermon in here, but I felt like it's so very important. Do you know that I cannot live without the Word of God? The Word of God sustains me. It strengthens me. It shifts me. It changes me. Do you know that it rebukes me? But when in the midst of my rebuke, I do not fall into a hole. I simply just confess that, and then I move on into the goodness of God. Amen? But the Word of God is transformative. It changes us. And you know what? I have to ask myself this question every once in a while. Maybe you don't, but I do. I have to ask myself this question. Saying, Rod, how has the Word of God changed you in the last month? See, when we start thinking like this way, not in the sense that since I came to Christ, how much have I changed? That's not what I'm talking about. And that is a question that we ask as well. But I'm asking it so literal, so now, that saying, so Rod, in the last month, how has the Word of God transformed me? And that's not a sense of hear me. When I say that to us, that's not like, oh man, I'm not sure it has. Am I supposed to feel bad? No, please don't go there. But what I want us to do is to be able to go, yeah, you know what? I need to start expecting the Word of God to transform me. I need to expect to be different at the end of the month. Come on now, are you with me? Now, here's what I need, and I mean, all of us will talk about this, different preachers, different ways. I do like interaction. I do like you talking to me. I do like, in the sense of just being with me as we walk through this journey. But to me, the Word of God is the most powerful tool that I have been given in my life. I would never go, if I was a police officer, for example, I would never go without the tools that I've been given for both protection and enforcement. I would never do that. I would never go out because that would be foolish in those spaces. I don't want to go anywhere without the Word of God on my hip. Are you with me? And I don't mean the fact that it's in my pocket, okay? I don't mean the fact that I got a little New Testament. Maybe you do, okay? It's in your pocket in there. I'm talking about that I've hid the Word of God in my heart and it's transforming me today. It's changing me today. I walk up to a friend and, okay, hear me now. I need you to really walk with me through this. I go through seasons of dryness. Anybody with me? Goes through seasons of dryness where, you know, I'm doing my duty and I'm picking up the Word of God. Now, if you never go through that, fantastic in there. There are times and seasons that we talk about, you know, the rock of the Word feels like a rock, okay, in there. It's not penetrating my heart. It's not fucking, now, it's not the Word's fault, right? Come on now, listen to me. Okay, it's not the Word's fault. God's Word didn't change in that moment, right? It didn't become irrelevant in that moment. It didn't become so that it was ineffective in that moment. And so I have to ask myself, so Lord, tenderize my heart again to your Word. You know, like, let me get ready, because it's not about, you know, here's, this is all intro, okay, this morning in this. But you know how I know when I'm a little bit running from God? Guess that I don't fully have my time in the Word, or it has just become duty. And I know and I recognize that I set this. So here's what I'm saying. You got to follow with me here. It's not a matter of going, so bad, I'm so terrible. Please don't go down that road. It should be like, gotcha, you little crafty little devil. Okay, so we are going to see freedom come, and I am going to believe for freedom. I'm going to believe for expectation. I'm going to believe for the word of God to transform me and change me. Come on, are you with me? And so this is this thing that I, you know, as we walk through, and even as we walk through God's word today, I believe there's a specific word. I serve the God of the impossible. Who do you serve? That's my question for you today. I serve the God of the impossible. Who do you serve? You know, it kind of got stirred up inside of me when I went and, you know, Facebook does this every once in a while to me. I don't know about you, but you know how you get the reminders? This was 6 years ago. This was 1 year ago. Well, of course, right now, this past week, not today, but this past week, I got all the reminders of every day of camps that we'd done, okay, in there in the last little while. For those of you that don't know, that's our VBS. We call it Camp Impact. And all of these kids' faces starting to come up on my Facebook and all the things. And I'm like, it's getting a little am I allowed to be honest? I was getting a little ticked, okay, in there because I felt robbed, okay, in those moments. Now, I don't mean that I was just going to be belligerent and go do it anyways. You hear my heart in this, but I'm like, okay. And then I began to think about some of the first things that we did, and I started going through these, and one of them was My Big God. And that was one of the very first things, Pastor Gary, almost 13 years ago now, we did something, and it wasn't actually a summer thing, it was an October thing, but it began to focus on how big my God is. See, this is what I want to do when we look at the scripture this morning. I want you to see how big your God is. I want to see how massive your God is. See, the thing is that Revelations, just let's just, before we go over there, let's just, I was going to go one place and now I got another place coming into my head. So Revelations chapter 1, if we want to just go over there with me, I believe it's 1 and 8. At least I hope it is. Hey, Revelation 1 and 8, and I want to show you a description that is given. Yes, this is a description that is given of Jesus in this. So actually, he says it of himself in this. But I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Do you know that there's progressions in your faith? Come on now. Do you know there's progressions in your faith? You grow in your faith. In fact, my faith needs, I have to remember, I have been serving the Lord now for 48 years. Is that crazy? 48 years I have been serving the Lord. Now hear me, when I was a kid and when I was a youth, I thought this was a testimony that I'd be like, no, I don't really have a testimony. I mean, I didn't, you know, even as a youth, I didn't do drugs, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I didn't walk away, I didn't do this. And so my testimony was, I served Jesus all my life. And you see, this is the thing within this, though, is that you start to realize, hey, that's a testimony. Come on now, I got a testimony. For 48 years, I've been walking with Jesus. Do you know what I'm talking about? And not every moment have I been perfect in it. Not every moment have I done the right thing in it. But here's the thing, my faith has changed. My understanding of who Jesus is has changed over that time. That he has went from, listen to me, he has went from the God who can, okay, because this is how you begin to learn, right? You go to the Word of God to find out what God can do. That's what we do. We go to the Word of God to find out what God can do. But here's the thing. That was the first part of my journey of finding out what God can do. And the word is can in those moments. But here's the thing that began to change inside of me. It had to move farther. Because here's the lie of the enemy that came in. If I only knew the God who can, this is the lie that came in. At that time was, well, he can and he for someone else, but he not necessarily will for me. I did not know. And so I had to know the God, not only the God who can, but the God who will. And I tell you, that was a leap of faith. I wish there was step A, step B, step C, step D, and boom, you got it. It is an absolute jump of faith to go from the God who can to the God who will. Because here's the thing, when you go to pray for someone, if all you have is the God that can, you're wondering if he will. Come on now, you with me? But when you know the God who will, right, then things begin to change. And so we see him even in Revelations there, introduced as the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. And we know that there's a prophetic sign in the God who is to come, and that is an end time thing, okay, when we talk in there. But there's double meanings in the midst of this, because I had to know the God who can, the God who will, and the God who is right now doing something. See, that's what had to change in my mentality. I had to go from the God who can, because I'd read him in scripture, I'd read all the things that he did. And then I had to go along with him and spend time with him and understand his heart, because I did not understand his heart, listen to me, until I spent time with him. And I realized that he will do these things. He has declared it. And all of a sudden you start reading that the scripture in that context and you're like, oh, I never saw that before. I never saw that before. He's telling me right there. He's telling me right there. He's telling me right there that he will. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a promise. And so when I start to feel abandonment, when I start to feel alone, when I start to have the enemies try to come in and bring those little lies, what do? I pull out the word of God in my heart and I begin to declare, you crafty little devil. No. This is who my God is. He is the God who can, yes, but he is the God who will in this circumstances. Now, here's the big challenge in the middle of it. A lot of us have experienced, as we've walked through, sometimes when things go bad. Anybody been there? You've experienced when you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing has changed. Anybody been there? Or is that only me? Okay, and there, I've had those experiences. But here's the key in the midst of this. The enemy wants to then shift me. It's like a clock, right? The God who can, the God who will. Okay, he wants to push me back because he's okay with the fact that I have the knowledge of the God who can. He is totally okay with all this knowledge. But when I begin to shift beyond my experiences and don't allow the situations or the experiences to declare what I think of God or who I think God is. In other words, the lenses that I'm wearing are often from situations. Come on now, are you with me? You see what I'm talking about here, right? A situation will happen. A disappointment will come into play. You were expecting this and this happened. Okay, I must be just preaching to myself here, okay, in the midst of this, that those things begin to happen. But here's the moment. There's the moment. There's this moment. I'm going to show it to you even with Moses. There's this moment where all of a sudden you get to choose. Are you going back to just the God who can? You're not really sure that he will? Or are you beginning to say, no, I'm even beginning to press forward even farther from the God who can to the God to the will to the God who is doing something right now? See, that's hope. That's hope. That's what real hope is. Hope is not this wishy-washy kind of like, you know what, I hope my friend shows up today. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope he's on time. Okay, what does that really mean? If I say, I hope he's finally on time, what am I really saying? He might be on time, but I really don't believe he's going to be on time. See, that's not hope. When we say it, it's funny how the language changes, right? The English language comes and tries to twist something. See, divine hope is different. Divine hope is but a confident expectation that God has a plan and he basically is putting it into practice right now for me. There's something happening right now. So what happens is we get in these situations where all of a sudden, you know, I was expecting this and boom, this thing happened. I'm like, I can't believe that happened. Wow. And it wants to push us back. Do you understand me? I'm making myself clear here this morning. But it's that moment right now that we begin to walk forward. Let me show you what happens in Exodus. So go with me to Exodus chapter 14. And I'm going to try to find, because I think I just preached in the middle of my sermon, the third part of my sermon, and now I'm going to go back and do the last, and I probably preached the eighth part of it and all the rest of the stuff, so we're going to see what happens, but the Spirit of the Lord knows what's going on. See, we know finally God's people are free in this moment. We look, and I'm going to start to read a little bit later on with it, but if you don't know the story, God's people are finally free. Okay, this is when they have been in bondage for over 400 years in Egypt under Pharaoh, and they've gone through all of those let my people go's kind of things. And I'm not going to go back into that story of that because it's more just talking about now they have gone, they have left, they have moved out. But isn't it remarkable to think? See, when we see somebody reacting somewhere, so don't walk in judgment. Put yourself in their place to understand why they're reacting in such a way. Come on now. If you would actually stop and instead of judging, stop and go, I wonder, Holy Spirit, why are they responding this way? You see, when you look at the children of Israel, come on now, we look and we go, man, they're complaining. Man, now the complaining did get them in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. But hear me, if you were, as a generation, for 400 years, stuck in bondage, you didn't know. All you had were stories about what God can do, what he did do, and you're not seeing anything happening right now. Come on now, how hard would it be for you to trust? Come on, in those moments, how difficult would it be to actually listen to this leader and to move out? And so they're going across and we want to look at them and it's true and right because their complaining kept them out of what God had for them. And we understand complaining is a devastating thing. And if you want to see what God doesn't like, that would be one of them, okay, in there. But understanding in the midst of this situation that we know that they're begun to move out. Can I say it to you this way? You see, they've been set free. They start to walk on their journey. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh goes, what did we just do? Okay, boys, get all the chariots. Get all the army. We're going and we're getting them back again. And you see, how many times does that happen with the enemy? That we get set free from a bondage. And we think, well, that's good. Done that. I'm all good. And we wonder, we're surprised when the enemy shows up. Knocking on our door, wanting to put us back in bondage. And we're like, why are you here? You see, the whole point is this. Just because we got free doesn't mean he's going to stop trying to embond us. But we don't have to go back there. Jesus is strong in us, but it's a matter of being aware of what happens. So Pharaoh's going to go after them and he chases, basically looks over and, you know, God even does this on purpose. He causes them to take the children of Israel, to take the strangest route to make them look like, the Bible even talks about it, make it look like they were totally confused. And Pharaoh's like, ha ha, I'm going to get them now. And we get into the story, and all of a sudden what happens is the children of Israel are going, and they're going, and they're going, and they're going, yeah, okay, they're going. Whoa. Where did that sea come from? There's this massive sea in front of them, and as the Bible even talks about in here, it says they looked up and they saw the enemy coming. Now, you know they had to be half decently close. And in this situation, what happens is God, in his miraculous love for them, causes the pillar of smoke to come down, and basically what happens is it both goes behind them, and what it does is it causes that the Pharaoh's men to not be able, total confusion. They can't find them, they can't get to them, and it gives them time to move where God is saying. How many times has God given us time to do what he's asking? He is such a gracious God. The key is that if you messed up once, get up and try it again. If you messed up the second time, get up and try again. He is such a compassionate God. So he makes room. He makes a way in this situation. So here's, though, what I want you to focus on. See, when we know that the enemy is going to come back at us, it's not a point of fear. It's a point of preparation. Okay? It's not a point of fear. It's a point of preparation. Because, and that's where we have to get, even right now in this season, your tongue has to become the weapon that it is for God and not against yourself. Now, if you're like me, boy, I've got to tame that tongue every once in a while, okay, and go, hang on a second here. You are talking in the wrong direction. You are speaking in the wrong direction. You are speaking, listen to me, you are speaking in backwards thinking. In other words, what that means is that I've gone back, something's happened. Let's say that I was expecting something different, and all of a sudden, bam, something bad's happened. The first sometimes, and not always, and it's really been a long time now before this has happened, but all of a sudden out of my mouth would come, yeah, well, you know, really didn't expect anything different, or yeah, it's kind of like before when that happened, and that happened, and that happened. And what we do is we begin the blame game. Hear me now? We begin this blame game with God even, and we go back to all of the circumstances and situations and that didn't go well, shall we say? And all of a sudden, instead of beginning to be declarative with our mouths, we become destructive with our mouths. I'm looking at you all right now and I'm wondering, are you know, in the sense of, do you understand what I'm saying? Have you walked this out with me in there? You know, for me, it's a matter, though, of realizing that what has to happen is that I have got to have my mouth begin to speak in forward thinking. And that is hope-filled expectation that God is about to do something. Now, let me just read you some of this here. So Exodus 14, 1 to 4, and it says, "And then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near," I'm sorry that I'm going to probably say this wrong, Hi-Hareth, yeah, there we go, "between Migdol and the sea, and they are to encamp by the sea directly opposite of Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Egyptians really in this time, they're chasing them now. They've blocked them in. I said they've hemmed them in between the sea and where they are. And then all of a sudden you hear the people begin to complain. And they begin to complain about the fact of, see, I told you not to take us out of Egypt. You should have just left us there. If we were going to die somewhere, we don't want to die out in the desert. We should have just died back there. And you see this backward thinking, this blame thinking. Come on now. Yeah, and what it is, can I just be blunt? What it is, oh, woe is me thinking. Come on now. It is this self-absorbed, oh, woe is me, when all of a sudden all these words start with I. I don't like this. I deserve better. I. And in those moments, we begin to regress back in this situation. Now, I want to move on from here, because this is what Moses says to them. He says and Moses said to the people, and this is verse 13 and 14, so skipped a fair bit there. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still." Boy, that's important. "And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you." Now, this is the important. "And you shall hold your peace." That's all God was asking them to do, is hold their peace in that moment. To hold on to their peace. So how do we hold on to peace? To me, I hold on to peace through the declaration of his word. And you might say, well, you know, what do I do if it doesn't feel like anything? Don't go by your feelings in those moments. Keep pressing in with his word. Declare it until your feelings catch up. That's what I always tell myself. Rod, your feelings are going to eventually catch up and they're going to walk with you. So just keep declaring until they get there. And sometimes it's immediate like that. And sometimes it feels like weeks. Come on now. Anybody been there? But if you continue to do this, you will see. You will hold your peace in these situations. So the idea really in all of this is to think, am I functioning as the complainer or am I functioning as the one like Moses who's looking for the God opportunity? Now, here's where we get down to it. If I'm still in bondage to all the disappointment, disillusion, disease, despair, utter devastation that we talked about even before, then what happens is that becomes my filter. And I have to remove that filter. But I've learned over the years I can't do it on my own. I've tried. I have tried just to remove the filter, in other words, of the negative experiences. And so I'm not going to sit there and tell you that absolutely that if you do A, B, and C, D, it'll be perfect for you. Can I just share you this is what God has done through me? Is that all right this morning? He has asked me to offer those things up as a sacrifice to him. That my offenses, I know none of you ever get offended here. offenses, my disappointments, my struggles, all of those things and go, God, I place them on the altar and I give you them as a sacrifice. But here's what that means. That means that when I leave, they are there. They're burnt up, they're gone, and I give up, listen to me, they give up the right to complain. That's hard, isn't it? Because some of us have gone through some very difficult things. But it gives us, what happens in those moments is we get released. And all of a sudden this burden that was upon us gets removed. And we find, truly find ourselves walking in lightness, walking in the presence and peace of God. You see, one of the things that, our time has just flown by this morning. Here's what I want you to get. If I say it this way when I try to teach or when I preach, here's your one thing. For Moses in this moment, and what happens is he gets there. And if I could just tell you this, I think that Jochebed and Amram are absolutely sensational parents. And you'd be like, who are those people? Some of you might know exactly who I'm talking about, but that's Moses' mom and dad. Remember the story of Moses in those situations where we know all the babies are being slaughtered and it's a terrible, terrible thing that's happening. And Moses' mom puts Moses in that little ark, really. Okay, it's a representation. Okay, in this ark, puts him in the water and puts him out. And we know that in those supernatural moments then that the Pharaoh's family, really, daughter in that sense, has found him. And to make a long story short, it says, hey, you know, we need someone to nurse him. And it happens to be that Moses' sister is right there and says, hey, I'll go get somebody. And she go gets her mom and brings him there. But you see, I want you to go back to this again. 400 years of bondage. For many of them, for all of them, they were stories that they had of what God did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes. They're stories. Do you hear me? You're catching me with me, right? With this, they're stories. Nobody there has experienced ever any of this stuff. It is stories. But here's the key: if a story is told only on the fact of what God can do, and is not told from the fact of what God is about to do, then it's simply a recollection of the past, and it's not a statement of expectation. When I read the Bible, I read it as a statement of expectation in my life. I read it that he did it for them. Well, watch, God's going to do it for me. You say, well, that he didn't say that. Oh, you walk with it for a little while. Begin to take the Bible and begin to look through it and go, oh, okay, he did this for Moses. Then I believe he's going to do this for me. Because I know that 2 Timothy tells me, chapter 3, verse 16, it talks about the fact of that these all scripture is God-breathed and is good for our teaching, that we can learn from these things. And our time is just flying by, and I would say it to you this way. Moses made a choice in that moment. He's standing on the sea. And I know that we don't really know whether Moses, when his mom brings him back to Pharaoh, we don't know whether he's 6 months, some believe 3 months, 6 months, some also believe 6 years. There's so much differences of what they believe. But I believe in those moments that Jochebed told her children stories with expectation in her mouth. That when she told them the stories of what God had done, she told them in a way that watch what God is about to do. And she moved away from all the disappointment, all the discouragement, all that embedded doubt. Do you know that situations have embedded doubt in them? They are created by the enemy sometimes to embed doubt in us. But Moses in that situation, if you don't believe me that I believe that they were different kinds of parents, look at their children. Miriam, she was a prophetess and begins to rise up. Aaron is the brother in there. He becomes the high priest and he is so filled with peace in most situations that he walks in. You see, they're different. Because I believe their parents spoke with expectation when they read to them or when they really accounted to them the stories that they knew. Come on now. I believe that as you stand with me today, come on, just stand up with me. I know it's kind of strange, and sometimes I forget about timing here. Here's what I want you to get from this message. When something terrible and difficult happens, like the children of Israel at this moment going, oh, I got the sea on this side. I've got the enemy coming on this side. Instead of going, ah, should have went back. Simply say, God, what's your plan? When something negative happens, when your car breaks down, let's just put it in reality, right? When your car breaks down, you sit there and you go, instead of saying, well, yeah, that's going to be dead, that's going to be gone, that's going to be terrible, blah, 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 blah. Simply stop and say, God, what's your plan? You're in a situation where you need him. God, what's your plan? And I guarantee you that he will require something just like he required of Moses. He didn't let Moses just go, okay, God, go ahead, open the sea. Go ahead. You know, he required him to stand out there, take his staff, and dare to believe God and to stretch it out over the water. I am telling you, in those moments, he will require something from you. He will require you to push beyond the embedded doubt that's in that situation. And he will require you to reach out your hand and declare, I not only believe in the God who can and the God who will, but I believe in the God who is now doing something. Are you with me? So, Father, we just pray that as this week goes along, that we will be people who stop and just say, God, what's your plan? And we will step out in faith what you require, that we will even begin to practice that and begin, Lord, what is your plan and what do you require of me? For the children of Israel, all it simply was to hold your peace and watch God perform a miracle. And so, Lord, we say to you right now, whether we're at home watching or whether we're here in the building, teach me, Lord. Allow your word to transform me and change me. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I encourage you, remember this week here, I've got a challenge for you before you go. And even online, before we're just going to kick out probably in about 2 minutes here. But here's your challenge. I want you to encourage somebody this week. You say, I'll do that all the time. I want you to encourage a stranger this week. Okay, someone that you don't know, and I want you to encourage them. Now, be respectful. We're not talking about breaching, you know, social distancing and all those things. But ask God, Lord, what word would you have me to share with that person? And I'm telling you, if you ask him, he will highlight someone to you, and you will see transformation happen this week. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.